Joshua chapter 6. We are going to finish up our series that we've been in for several weeks that we are calling Unshakable. Unshakable. This is the last message, the fifth message in the series, and I'm going to try to wrap this up today. And so the past few weeks we've been talking about this shakable world that we live in. It doesn't take a person long to look around at our culture, at our world, at our society, at the home, at many of our institutions, and to kind of come away saying, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty in our world today. We live in a shaky world. Our times are unsettling. Our culture is shaky. Our world's uncertain. And even in our personal lives sometimes, we feel the tremors of that, don't we? At times we feel how shakable this world is. So the past few weeks, we've been kind of leaning into that topic, kind of talking about it. We've spent a lot of time talking about in this shakable world that we need to be building our life, basing our life on a God that is unshakable. We've talked about that God, about how if you build your life on anything else other than Him, listen, the foundation's going to get shaken and life's going to get shaky. We've talked about how we don't know how folks get through this shaky life and the trials and the struggles that we face without the Lord because we live in such a shakable world. Reverend Mark H. Creech is the executive director of the Christian Action League. And he had an interesting statement that I read. And of course, he states the obvious here, but then I want you to listen to how he closes out this statement. It caught my attention this week. Reverend Mark H. Creech, he says this: we are living in remarkably uncertain, shakable times. There are great personal, economic, political, international shakings going on. History ever marches forward. Kingdoms come and kingdoms go. Would that we would listen to the prophets who warned us not to hold fast to this world, but instead look to the one who is sovereign over it and the unshakable one. Don't you love that? I mean, that's what we've been talking about in this series, is that in the midst of the uncertain times, and as we kind of said, it doesn't take much to kind of diagnose the situation. I mean, you look at the news, you read the papers, you hear what's going on in our culture, and you say, shakable. I mean, we live in an uncertain time. But I love what Mark Creech says there, because he says, listen, instead of kind of focusing on those things, we need to look to the one who is sovereign over it all, the unshakable one. So we've tried to kind of point your attention to him. We've talked about building our life on him and what that looks like in the past few weeks. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Chip Ingram. Anybody ever listened to Chip Ingram? Great, great preacher. His radio podcast is called Living on the Edge, and he's a tremendous preacher. And I was listening to him this week, and he made this statement, and I wanted to just kind of share this with you and listen close to what he says, because it's kind of what we've been getting at in our series and saying. And he says a lot of the same things that we've heard from people like John MacArthur and from Billy Graham and from people like that who talk about this shakable world and where our focus needs to be. But kind of listen how he wraps this up. Chip Ingram says this. He says, we are living in a world of uncertainty where many things can make us afraid. The slow and steady disintegration of the family, a volatile economy, growing violence. In our current political environment, no doubt many of us are weary and of the media coverage and personal debates, in addition to our own concerns about the impact to our nation and our world. And then listen to this. He says, in this climate, taking responsibility and being informed is really important for us, for Christians. Let me just stop there for a second, because I think that's true. Here's what we often want to do. Because our times are so unshaky and the news always seems to be bad and getting worse, what do we usually do? Turn it off, right? We want to just kind of tone it out. We want to pretend like it's not there. And I like this statement, first of all, because he says we must not do that. We need to understand what's going on in the world. He says we need to be informed, and that's really important for us as Christians. But then he says this, but what's even more important is the way we as everyday believers respond amidst the uncertain times. This could be, and I believe this, Christians, listen, church, listen to this. This could be the greatest, most strategic opportunity for the body of Christ to respond in decades. Now think about that for just a second and what he's saying. I love that statement because here's what he's saying. Listen, we must not be uninformed as Christians. We need to realize how shaky the world is. It's okay for us to talk about that, but as we've been saying in our series, we must not be shaken by it ourselves, right? We have a God that's unshakable. But what he's saying is that in the midst of these uncertain times and the shakable world that we live in, we have a great opportunity before us to speak hope into that darkness, to speak life into that shaking world. We know the answer, don't we? We know the God that doesn't shake when everything else around us shakes. And I love some of the songs that we sang this morning. We talked about shine, Jesus, shine, and people need the Lord. You know why we need to shine? You know why people need the Lord? Because they're living in a shaky world. Their lives are quaking. And guess what? Sometimes we shake too because of it, right? But our focus must not be on those things. Our focus must be on the unshakable God. And we need to be sharing him with those who don't know him, sharing the hope of Jesus with those who are hurting. And I think that's powerful. So that's kind of where we've been the last few weeks. Now, I want us this morning to kind of focus on kind of closing this out just a little bit. We live in this kind of a shaky world. I get that. And I also get that we have this things going on around us sometimes that even affect our own homes and our own lives. And it's hard for us, even as a church, right, to not be shaken by that. It's hard for us. But we also realize that we have this God that's unshakable and that we can have a faith and a trust in him. But what I want to do this morning as we close the series is I kind of want to put the ball back in our court. I just, for a little bit of time today, I want us to kind of put the onus back on us, okay? And here's what I want you to think about. I believe that in the midst of this shaky culture, in the midst of this shaky world, God's word is giving us hope and encouragement in the midst of that, and we have a choice to make. Are we going to shake or are we going to shout? You see, that's the title of the message today, right? Shake or shout. Are we as believers and as a church and as Christians who have this opportunity that Chip Ingram spoke about to kind of speak into that shakiness, into that uncertainty, into that and speak hope, are we going to shake like the rest of the world or are we going to shout? And I believe that's a great kind of question for us as a church. But now listen to me, Christian. I think that's a great kind of thought for you in your personal life. Am I shaking right along with the rest of the world, being shaken by the things of this world, being shaken by the trials and the struggles and the difficulties that I face? Am I shaking right along with the rest of the world? Or am I shouting praise and victory to a God who is unshakable, who is above it all? And I want us to think about that today. We're going to go to this great Old Testament story in the book of Joshua. You'll recognize it. You've read this story probably ever since you were very young. I love the story of Joshua and the Jericho walls. Don't you love that story? And so we're going to look at it this morning. And if you have your Bible there, we're going to look at a lengthy passage today. And so verses 1 through 16 of chapter 6 of Joshua. And then I'm going to skip down to verse 20. And so we want to kind of just lean into this someday. As we think about that choice that's ours, okay? Think about this. Am I shaking or am I shouting? Am I shaking because of the things going on in the world today? Am I shaking because of how out of control our political system and the news media and the environment and that I live in today because of the things happening to the home and the rising violence and all the things that are going on in the world? Am I shaking or am I shouting praise to a God who is bigger than? I mean, what am I doing? So look at your Bible there, Joshua chapter 6, familiar story. You guys stay with me on this because I believe that God has a word for us here, and I don't want us to miss this. Some people go, well, that's a great Old Testament story, but what does that have to do with me today? Here's what I'm going to tell you, everything. Everything. All of this is God's word. Every bit of it applies. Old Testament, New Testament, it's relevant for you, and I believe he has a message for you in this. So look at it with me if you would. Joshua chapter 6, beginning in the first verse. Here we go. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Can I just stop there for just a second? You see where it says securely? Here's what happens. Often in our lives, we build walls because we think it makes us secure. All right? We put walls up around us because we think it's going to protect us. It's going to keep us from being shaken in this world. Can I tell you something about walls? They fall. So whatever walls you've put around your house, around your life, around your family, around things in your life, whatever walls you put up, you need to realize walls can come tumbling down. They get shaken. All right? There's only one thing that's not shakable. Guess what it is? Him. So think about that. Remember that. So look, they think they're secure. They have secured all the walls. They've shut up Jericho tight because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And I'm going to tell you something, a little secret here. It wasn't about the children of Israel. It was about their God. They'd heard what the God of the children of Israel can do. I believe they'd probably already heard that he'd already parted the Jordan so they could cross it. All right, they'd heard what the God of the children, that's why they've shut up the walls tight. Verse 2, it's going to take me a long time to get through at this pace, right? Verse 2, and here's the thing you need to remember. I may have sang a lot this morning, but I'll just rasp right through it all. So it's not going away, so stay with me. Ready? Now verse 2, and the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all of you, men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpet. It shall come to pass when they make a loud blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people will shout, there's the word, shake or shout, all the people will shout with a great shout, and then the walls of the city will fall down flat, and people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. Now think about this just for a second. Here's what God told Joshua, the plan, but Joshua, he didn't tell the people what the plan was. He just said, you're going to march around the city today. And the next day he said, and you're going to march around the city again. And the next day he said, and you're going to march around the city again. If you look at this, listen, God told Joshua the full plan. Joshua told the people one part of the plan as it came. Sometimes, listen, we don't want to know what's ahead, right? We need to trust God moment by moment, day by day in this shakable world. I mean, listen, if you know what's going to be shaken 2 days from now, you'd be panicked. You'd be trembling. You'd be shaken. So God gives us just enough today for us to say, listen, God, I can trust this into your hands today, and I don't have to shake because you're unshakable. I don't know what's ahead, but I trust you. And moment by moment, we march, shouting praise to this God who gives us victory. You get it? I think that's powerful in the story if you look at it. Okay? And so verse 8. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpet, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. That had to be quite a sight, don't you know? The children of Israel marching around that city all walled up, and every single day they're walking around that city, and there's priests blowing ram's horns, and there's this weird-looking box with angel's wings over the top of it, kind of following them, and they're just walking. Like, what are they doing? You know, like, what in the world is going on here? Verse 10, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, look at this, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. You guys kind of mark verse 10 there. We'll come back and talk about that later. Verse 11. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged at the camp. Joshua was early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went out continually, and they blew with the trumpet, and the armed men went before them. But the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did this 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th that they rose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened, when the priest blew the trumpet, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now skip on down to verse 20. Look at this. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before them, and they took the city. Wow. You know what happened? They shouted instead of shaking, and God shook the city. That's what happened. And I just want us to kind of lean into this day. I want us to think a little bit about what's taking place here in this passage of Scripture. Now, some of you go, well, why did you read so much of that? Because I wanted you to hear God's word. Here's something, I say this all the time to you, and I want to reiterate this and drive this home to you. It is way more important for you to hear the word of God straight from his word, okay, than what I have to say about it. It really is. I mean, God's word is powerful right there. You can read it for yourself. His Holy Spirit can take his word and begin to apply it to your own heart, your own life, just like he has to mine. There's some powerful stuff in that story. It's more than just a childhood storybook story, right? It's more than just something we tell or we kind of talk about in our children's classes. Listen, this is a powerful story about how God sustained his people. This unshakable God helped his people not to shake in the face of very formidable enemies and foes, how they didn't shake when all around them everything else was shaking, and how they shouted praise to God and the victory that became theirs. You know what I love about God's word is that it applies. It's truth for us. That same God, listen, that shook the walls of Jericho, that same unshakable God that sustained his people in the midst of that is the God that we're worshiping and praising today. It's the same God that is still on his throne right now while all around us we look at our culture and our society and the things going on in our country and they shake and they're uncertain and we go, how can I not be unnerved by that? That same God is this God. And the truth of the matter is, listen, we can either shake at the things that are going on today, or we can shout, just like God's people did, acknowledging who he is, how big he is, how unshakable he is. And I want us just to look at a couple of things this morning and think about this. I love verse 16 in there. It says this, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. He said shout before the city was given to them. You see what we ought to be doing in the midst of this shaking world? We don't know, right? We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where we're headed. Listen, we think things are bad now. They could get a lot worse, right? But what are we supposed to be doing in the midst of that? Shouting. Praise to a God who is above all of that, who is still on his throne, who is victorious over it all. Listen, we don't sit in here as a bunch of Christians cowering in the midst of four walls, wringing our hands and saying, oh God, what are we going to do? We ought to sit here, the most hopeful people in this country. We ought to sit here with the greatest boldness and the greatest courage, because I am telling you, I don't care what the world does, our God's bigger. He doesn't shake when the rest of the world shakes. So shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And in verse 20, so the people shouted, complete victory. It's shake or shout. Now think about this with me, just for where we've been in this study for a little bit. Can I ask you a question? Remember several weeks ago, we were with Paul and Silas in a jail cell. Remember that? Their hands were in the stocks. They were chained. It was dark in there. And it was dank in there. It was scary in there. They'd been persecuted for their faith. Can I ask you, what were they doing? Shaking or shouting? Yeah. They were sitting in that prison cell singing praises, shouting to the name of the Lord God Almighty. And what about last week? We looked at Isaiah, who went into the temple, right? And he saw this awesome picture of God, right? How did he see that God? What was he doing? Shaking or shouting? He was worshiping, wasn't he? And he watched as the angels encircled the throne of God, and the angels were shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You see, the example we have from Scripture is, listen, for us as believers, yes, sometimes this world is lost and it's dark and it's a scary place and we're raising our families and there's a lot of things that can cause us to shake. But listen, as believers, we have hope in the midst of that darkness. We don't have to shake. We can shout praises to him. I love the worship service this morning because it kept reminding us of what? Shout to the Lord. Shout to the north and the south. Shout to the east and the west. Shout to the Lord, right? Constantly through that service, proclaiming the good news of him. Listen, Christians ought to never walk around in this life grim-faced, sullen-looking, like they've lost their best friend. That ought not be how we walk around. We ought to walk around this place with a glow on our face, with a radiance on our heart and our life. Why? Because we serve an unshakable God. An unshakable God. Don't you love that? I love that. So here's the question today. Are we going to shake or are we going to shout? I have a whole lot of kind of illustrations that we put in here. I just have to share this funny story with you this morning, because when I got here, somebody saw the sermon and put this little moist towelette up here for me. You know, preachers need that sometimes just to wipe their head, but it's a little shout. It's a little shout towelette. Thank you, Kathy Hagler, for picking on me. What Kathy doesn't know is that I actually had an illustration in my sermon about shout stain remover in my sermon. So here's the illustration, right? I mean, think about that. In this life, listen, there's a lot of things, listen, that can crowd in on our life, that can take us down. There's all kinds of things that can cause us to shake, right? Doubts. Doubts about ourselves, about our walk with God. Fear about what tomorrow holds. Fear about raising a family in the kind of world that we're raising them. Fear about sending my kids off every day into a culture that's shaky, right? Fear about who's running the country, or about what's being said in the country, or about crime around us, or about the drift that we see in places. Even fear sometimes within the church of the things we see happening within Christendom, right? What we shake about that stuff. And listen, I'm just going to tell you, listen, one of the things we ought to do is shout it out. Shout it out. God, you are bigger than, right? Shout it out. Praise to a God who is bigger than a culture that shakes, who's bigger than a political system that's uncertain, who's bigger than a rising crime rate, who's bigger than the things my kids will face at school. Shout to that kind of God. He's unshakable. Right? Now, let's look at the story, because I know my time is slipping away and you guys are going, are you going to get to it? Are you going to get to it? I'm going to get to it, okay? So here we go. You ready? Just a couple of truths here. And again, the title is this: we can shake or we can shout. What's it going to be for us? So let's look at this. I'm just going to give you a couple of points here, right here, that we pull out of the story, and I think there's some great truth here. See if you can get this. Number one, I want you to think with me, first of all, about the shaky obstacles they face. The shaky obstacles that they faced. Now, here's the reality. Think about this. Do we face today some shaky obstacles in life? Do we? We do, don't we? Here's what I know personally. Because I know you guys, and I love this size of a church for that reason, because it's very personal, isn't it? We're community. We're a family. I know what's shaking many of you. Some of you know the things that are shaking me, right? I know you. I know the things that you're being shaken by. Financial issues, family problems, spiritual issues with your own walk with God, things you're struggling with, decisions you're having to make. I know the things that are shaking you. And I don't in any way want to minimize those things, right? They're shaky. They're scary. It's true. They are. They shake us to our very core. And I don't want to minimize at all what's happening in this story. Listen, we've read the story, and we have so kind of child-ized, a buddy word, this story, right, that we kind of make it kind of fairy book. And so we kind of know the ending, right? And so we read the story, and we just kind of have a tendency to minimize what's happening here. Listen, their obstacle was real. Remember that 40 years earlier, they had been poised to enter the promised land. Remember that? They were ready to go in. Why didn't they go in? Because they saw Jericho. They said their walls are large and fortified. Their people are strong and powerful. The land is inhabited by giants, by people who are stronger than we are. We can't take possession of it. And so you know what they did? For 40 years, they shook. Instead of claiming what God wanted to give them. Do we do that? Instead of claiming what God wants to do for us. Instead of moving ahead in victory. and say, God, you've already won the battle. He told them beforehand. Listen, so he gave them the walls of Jericho before they ever even fell. So now 40 years later, those obstacles are still there. They're still shaky. They still have to cross the Jordan River with millions of people, right? They still have large fortified cities to conquer and strong people in the land. They're still not a mighty warring band. They've been wandering around a wilderness for 40 years, shaking. I mean, they were facing some powerful... When you think your obstacles are shaky, go back and read the story. These obstacles were insurmountable to them. What is our shaking keeping us from experiencing that God wants to do in us and through us? What could be ours if we would just quit shaking and start shouting? What does he want to do in our church? What does he want to do in my personal life? Folks, we need to stop shaking and get to marching by faith, believing him for what he wants to do in our life. We need to begin to move forward for him. And you see that in the story. It's so powerful if you think about it. So listen, the obstacles they were facing, they were very real. They were true. A.W. Pink, the great theologian, is talking about the walls of Jericho, and he says this, and I think this is interesting. He says, its capture, Jericho's capture, was indispensable before any progress could be made by Israel in conquering and occupying the land of Canaan. Now, here's what we know. Israel was camped out at Gilgal, 3 miles from Jericho. They just crossed the Jordan River, 3 miles from the walls of Jericho. If they don't defeat Jericho, they don't take the promised land. That's what A.W. Pink is telling us. Historically, we know that's true. And so here's what they had to do. They had to quit shaking and start believing. They had to take a step of faith. They had to begin to march forward. They had to stop shaking and start shouting to their God, who is bigger than circumstances and obstacles and challenges. Now let me just personalize that for you for just a second, because I'm going to move on to the next point, because I want you to think about this. You guys, listen. This is so personal to me. I believe that so many times we let the obstacles and the challenges and the difficulties in life shake us to the point that we forget how big our God really is. We truly serve, we've been talking about it for the past 5 weeks, we serve an unshakable God. He is not shaken by the things that shake us. But what does he do? He comes along beside us just like he did for them. And he proclaims the victory. You know what we'll be doing? We'll be shouting praise. Thank you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. I believe you in the midst of this. This is hard. This is difficult. The obstacle is real. But God, I believe you. You're an unshakable God. I've heard it over and over and over again in your word. God, nothing is too big for you. Not even the walls of Jericho. Okay, let's go on. Here's point number two. I want you to think about this. Not only do I want you to think about those shaky obstacles, but think about the shaky orders that they followed. Think about the shaky orders they were given that they had to follow. Because here's what happens to us many times. We go, well, yeah, brother, buddy, you're right. I mean, God is bigger than, right? So what you're saying is I just need to go forward in faith. I just need to believe. Easy believism, right? And you go, yeah, but you don't know what I'm facing. You don't understand how real this is. And sometimes it's easy to stand in a pulpit and say, only believe, all things are possible, only believe, right? It's easy to say that, it's hard to do it, right? And especially when God is saying going forward and you're going, but God, what's the plan? How do I go forward? What do I do? And God just says, march. Just march. Just follow me. Put one step in front of the other and march by faith. That's what you do. You do what you know to do, right? You do what you know to do. You put one foot in front of the order. You follow him. Now, I got to be honest with you and say this about this story. I've read this story so many times, and it always intrigues me, boggles my mind. I even find it a bit bizarre. When Joshua received the orders for defeating Jericho, I'm sure that they had to seem just a little bizarre to him, don't you think? Think about what orders he got. Look at it in verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once, This you shall do 6 days. And the orders continue in verses 4 and 5. Look at it. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass, and when they make a long blast of the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the walls of the city will fall flat, and the people shall go up every man into straight before him. Now, when I read that a minute ago, I read a lengthy passage, and at some point in there, here's what happened to you. You started to zone out. I know, because I was looking at you. Right? You said, well, that all sounds nice, but what's all this 7 trumpets and 7 priests and marching around the city and they're carrying a box and all this stuff? And you just kind of tuned it out as we went along, right? And they did too. I think they listened to it and went, that sounds like a terrible plan. Don't sharpen your swords. Don't load your cannon barrels. Don't get the battering rams ready. Don't load up and charge the walls. Don't lay ladders against the fence and scale the walls. Don't do that. Here's what I want you to do. I just want you to take a hike and walk around the city once today. That's it. Just once. And tomorrow when you get up, we're going to do it again. And the next day, we're going to do it again. And the next day, again. And the next day, again. And the next day, again. And I don't want you to say a word. Don't talk. Don't talk to your neighbor. Don't discourage anybody next to you by saying, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. Right? Don't commentate on it. Don't do that. Don't be backseat drivers here, right? Don't talk about it at all. And don't you say a word until I tell you to. And when I do, don't shake, shout. Terrible plan, right? I mean, you read and you go, what in the world? Can I just kind of get you to think about that a little bit? That's powerful if you think about it. But because here's what it is. I believe that us not shaking in the face of many things that shake us is not as much about the fight as it is about the faith, the belief, the trust, taking one step at a time, believing him. And you go, well, that just sounds unusual. That just sounds too trite, too simple. Like, why doesn't he give me more instructions? Why doesn't he give me something more practical, something more tangible? Because listen, we don't fight like the rest of the world. We walk by faith, not by sight, right? I mean, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to believe our unshakable God, that he's bigger than, and what do? We put one foot in front of the other, and we follow him, and we leave all the results in his hands. And I'm going to tell you this. I've seen God do this in my life time and time and time again. When I don't understand but I trust, God goes to work. When I don't understand it all and it doesn't make sense to me and I need to just shut my mouth and be quiet before God and say, God, I don't get it, but I'm just going to let you work. It's amazing to sit back and watch how God works. And I see some head shaking, and you know what that means to me, right? It means you know what I'm talking about. You get it. I could share personal accounts of this with me. Nancy could. And our family. We're believing it right now, aren't we? For some things. We don't have to shake. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to worry. You just believe. You put one foot in front of the other. And listen, sometimes that's hard to do. I'm not trying to minimize what's causing you to shake, but I just believe that's a powerful truth in there. Folks, listen, we are always, always, always better off just to shut our mouth and trust God. Just believe him. Why do we think we have to have a comment about everything? Why do we think we have to give commentary to everything? Why do we think we have to do that? We don't have to have an opinion about everything. The only opinion that matters is his. And God is bigger than most of the things that are threatening. You know what we ought to be doing? We ought to be praying, shouting to our God and saying, God, intervene. God, touch down. God, lead me. God, use me. I trust you in this. That's what we ought to be doing. Shake or shout. What's it going to be? You see, I just believe in my heart of hearts that this is a powerful way for us to end this series, because the ball's in our court. The choice is up to you. You can walk out of those doors today and you are going to be faced with a shaky world. And you can be shaken by it. Probably will be. Or you can shout victory into it. because of the God that you serve. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer?